The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
What's up, party people? It's your boy Ubiquitous from the Rock Solid Radio Show. Just letting you know to check out the Patreon page for the CSPN, where you can find exclusive paid content not found through the free outlets. That's www.patreon.com/CSPNmedia. Go there to check out exclusive paid content for the Rock Solid Radio Show, as well as other CSPN Media podcasts.
This week's episode of the Rock Solid Radio Show is brought to you by Funko, fun at first sight. Funko is your home for exclusive collectibles such as their world-famous pop vinyl bobbleheads, apparel, t-shirts, hats, socks, and brand merchandise, including custom do-it-yourself pop figures, art books, and skateboards. And now, listeners of the Rock Solid Radio Show can enjoy 10% off of your entire purchase when shopping at Funko. To place your first order with 10% off, and to help keep our show free for you, go to our network website at cspn.us. Click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page, and from there, scroll down to the Funko link and place your order. When you get to the checkout, put in the offer code SHOP10 for your 10% off discount. Funko through cspn.us. Do it today. And now, let's start the show.
The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Does he realize how long ago that was?
No, he's not talking about the play. He's talking about the movie that came out last year that totally fucking bombed.
Oh.
Because it was weird.
It was terrible.
Did you actually see it?
I saw bits and pieces of it.
I only saw, like, yo.
I can't get through it.
What was up with What's-Her-Face eating the roaches? Like, that enough for me was like, I'm good.
Live from the Rock House every week. Well, we record every week. It's the Rock Solid Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Ubiquitous, aka Sir Verbal Speakeasy. And as always, I have my illustrious hosts, Dr. Sam.
Hello. I don't have anything witty to say. I'm just here in a positive spirit, yes.
So, pretty much a normal podcast recording. All right. And, as always, my man with the master plan, my motherfucking best friend, my right hand, yo nigga, my nigga, Ty Digger.
Howard University picked up another major win this week. Howard has been killing the summer. Been killing the summer recruiting circuit.
You know what? It's a goddamn shame that Howard has been killing it this year, and this would be 2020, the fucking worst year in our
worst year ever in our
existence.
But of course, it's gonna be Howard that changes this bitch. Like, we're gonna have to civilization kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
Man.
And what is that big recruit that Howard picked up? The office of the vice president. Potential office of the vice president of the United States.
Yo, let me tell you two groups of people who are never going to shut the fuck up if and when Kamala wins. Howard alumni and members of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Oh, but don't count out Indian Americans and
Jamaican Americans. You're right. Alphas. You're right.
Said who?
Alphas.
Shut up.
I can't with you. Actually, to be fair, given what I've seen, you know, on, you know, the internet, I think it's kind of a whole, like, women in PHC support type thing.
Everybody's supporting. Sure.
Yeah.
That's what makes her her nomination so, like,
awesome.
Crazy, because it's not just Howard alum. It's the network of Howard University.
Right.
That we network when we go home with our families.
Right.
It's the AKA network. Yeah, and that network is...
large.
Very large, and it's very influential.
Like, they cross, like, about...
500.
I about said 200 of them at Howard alone. So.
Stop.
And I'm just talking Alpha Chapter. We're not even talking like saying, the entire war.
At Howard alone. So there's that. But yes, indeed. I was happy. I was happy to hear of the selection. Because it doesn't feel like it's a token selection. Like,
no.
I'm just going to pick the black chick. Like,
nah, she was giving them the business during the debates and such. I feel that she, you know, had a pretty strong campaign during the primaries.
Yeah. She's qualified, you know.
Well, you know, there were a certain group of conservatives who were trying to say that she wasn't.
You know, conservatives don't know what the hell to say about her, really. Well, if you really want to be honest.
I'm going
to
talk about the whole birtherism thing.
Oh.
They really tried to pull that card again.
Like, at this point, if they don't realize, like, dude, the shit is old, like, at this point. Like, the world has changed so much, even between 2016 and now. In terms of what people are willing to accept and what people are just like, fuck out of here.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing about it. When you stop to think about it, their particular world hasn't changed.
Well,
or
yeah.
At least they would prefer for it not to.
That's
so
true. They're clinging.
The
yeah.
birtherism, you know, claim. I've also seen the whole, like, she's not really black because she's, you know, the parent or the descendant of Jamaican and Indian or, you know, South Asian, but it's like, seriously?
How did they think Jamaicans got so dark? How do they think?
It's like someone has said something to the point of, like, she's not the descendant of slaves, and it's like, how the fuck do you think black people got in the Caribbean?
They didn't just spring up.
It wasn't like, oh, let's just get on a boat and, like, go across the fucking ocean and, like, hope we bump into some islands. Nah, like, I think we can all agree that the slave trade in the Caribbean was actually significantly worse than the fucking slave trade in the United States. That's honestly...
It was more in volume.
Like, well, no, and it was more brutal, too. It was more in volume because they killed their slaves that much. The turnover was crazy like that.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even have enough time to reproduce to keep the stock up because they were working their slaves that hard.
But what makes the cruelty to me of American slavery is the fact that they realize it's better to keep them healthy
so they can reproduce. Well, here's the thing about it. I think that really came into play. I think they really understood the necessity to do that once European nations started abolishing slavery and abolishing the slave trade. So now you don't have as much of a stock coming in. You know what I'm saying?
And at that time, if the British Navy wanted to say, when Great Britain abolished slavery, that Navy was actually intercepting ships.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
we didn't have that type of Navy to be able to go toe-to-toe with Great Britain in open seas. Like,
right.
You figure what, they, Britain abolished the slave trade in, what, 1808 or something like that? So, yeah, you're going to have a self-reproducing, basically, stock.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting it imported the way that you were before.
The way that even we're talking about our ancestors sounds like we're talking about cattle. I just wanted to point that out.
And oh, that's I not had a, that thought in my
I
head.
I about to say, that's not a knock against y'all at all, but just the, just...
But that what makes it so...
I about to say, so exactly. Brutal. Exactly. So it's what makes it so real.
Like,
exactly.
Absolutely real. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy to me that you bring over humans to work and you work them so hard that their lifespan is like 3 years. From when they step off the boat. 3 motherfucking years, and they're done. How hard, what the fuck are you doing?
And you don't pay them shit.
At all.
Not a dime.
Not a damn thing.
Unless he can play a fiddle. But you're keeping 99%.
Or maybe be a, work some iron and be a blacksmith, so he might be able to have a side hustle.
But you're keeping 99% of the profit anyway, so.
For real.
He's just another slave.
Like, if you're nice, he might get a little bit more, and he could maybe possibly buy his freedom.
When he's in his 60s. After he...
Maybe not necessarily all of his family's, though.
After you done worked the shit out of him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Just...
But, I don't want to stray too far...
From the topic.
How do you think black people got over there? Like, who do you think those dark-skinned people are descendants of? Who...
And then, wait, even more, and I'm not saying that Kamala's mother is a Caribbean Indian, but let's think about how Indians got in the Caribbean anyway. When you couldn't bring in slaves anymore and slavery was outlawed, but you still wanted some cheap labor, you brought in the other people you were colonizing, Asians. Mm-hmm. So that's how you get Chinese Jamaicans. That's how you get Indian Jamaicans. Mm-hmm. It's still the importation and exploitation of colored people for your profit. But so there's still, an even if she's not the descendant of quote-unquote American slaves, there's still an understanding of that historical exploitation. Right. So don't give me that shit.
Her people did not originate in that country.
Right. Well, her mom might have, but her father, no.
So, just to even question her, if she's black or, like, I just feel like that's kind of insulting. And I want to say a lot of the attacks on her, surprisingly, have been from...
Black people.
Black people.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why. Like, she's even being connected to the crime bill in 1994. Like...
How is she being connected to that? Wasn't she, like, in... She wasn't even an attorney then, was she? Was she still in school?
She might have just started...
started law school?
I think she graduated from Howard in the 80s, in the mid-80s, so okay. She might have just started.
Okay.
Like,
I saw a meme being passed around where they were trying to tie, I think it was Fruitvale.
Oh, yes, yes.
Fruitvale.
The shooting of Oscar Grant.
Right, to her. And she, one, was in San Francisco.
Right, and that happened in Oakland, which is a different county. And two, even if she was California AG, she still wouldn't have had, that's still a local jurisdiction thing. Now, you can criticize.
Which, by the way, she was not California
AG at the time.
AG when it happened, exactly. Right.
You can criticize certain things that happened while she was Attorney General. That's been
Well, let's talk about that.
The truancy
situation, the whole thought that you're going to, you know, put parents in jail for their children not going to school. And, you know, she's argued, well, no one went to jail, and da, 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 but that's still, you know, terrorism and a connection to the school and prison pipeline.
But here's my thing. Did she come up with the bill by herself? Did she, or did the California...
No, it was something that she introduced.
Okay.
Yeah.
But here's my thing, though. To her point, nobody went to jail. It did its job.
Okay.
It did its job. I mean, you don't want the kids missing school. And you want results. It's like you mentioned, you said, you know, terrorism. And no, it's, I mean, it's called, for all the, you know, and don't get me wrong, we all know I have certain views that are conservative, and most of the rest of the, almost all of the rest of me is liberal. That's why I'm independent. But that's what you call law and order. The law was introduced as a deterrent from behavior that you wanted to see eradicated. And if nobody went to jail, clearly people followed the law to the extent that they didn't have to go to jail.
I think the term law and order strikes a certain apprehension, particularly in people of color, because law and order tactics often...
Well, the justice system is rigged against us anyway. We know this.
Right.
I mean, that. So I get that. Okay. I get that.
So aside from that, there is, you know, the numerous marijuana prosecutions that still continue to happen under her watch.
Mm-hmm.
The California...
But didn't she work to get that dropped?
No.
No, she didn't.
The Supreme Court, or I think it was the Supreme Court or the Justice Department, had ordered California to reduce its prison population. She fought against that. There's a lot of people who had issue with the fact that there, you know, was at least one trans woman who wanted to be put in the women's prison, and she fought against that the person should be put in the men's prison, which of course opens that person up and people like her to assault, rape, murder, a lot of things. Just basically violence, targeted violence. So, you know, those are kind of the main things that I can think of as far as like criticisms that some people have had of her tenure as California Attorney General.
Okay.
And
that's fair.
Reasonable people can have thoughts about that.
Right. But, you know, I do have an article that talks about her current positions on things. She was a co-sponsor of Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All Act. Of course, she is for abortion rights. She has endorsed the idea of monthly stimulus checks, specifically $2,000 a month per adult and $2,000 per dependent, which obviously I'm for. Obviously, she's for fighting against climate change. She supports the LGBTQ community. She now supports legalization of marijuana at the federal level, but as California General Attorney General, she oversaw hundreds of marijuana-related convictions.
Can she evolve from that, though?
She now supports it at the federal level. Okay. That's what I just said. And while as candidate, Harris voted to take executive action on guns if elected president, and Congress failed to act within 100 days. She's been a staunch advocate of stricter gun control laws. She supports requiring anyone who sells more than 5 guns a year to conduct background checks. She would have the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms take away the license of any gun dealer who breaks the law.
And as a gun enthusiast, I can't even be upset with those proposals.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I talked about this the other day. There seems to be the belief of this myth of the perfect candidate. And I just don't think that's possible. Like, if one of us ran for office.
Oh, my God. we're not even. Yeah.
No. Country ain't ready for that, though.
It'd be some things, like just one of us. We can look at each other and be like, okay, it'd be some things I support you on. But I would know you had other views. I'd be like, I'm not so sure about that.
Well, you know, I saw a tweet that was absolutely perfect. And they're like, it seems like Democrats have to have this perfect walk-on-water candidate, whereas the Republicans can pull out any booger that can talk, and he becomes president. And that's real. It's, you know, on the one hand, you can look at it, you can positively reframe it and look at it from the standpoint of at least we have, or perhaps we have a stronger vetting system.
No, I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is.
What is it?
People who lean more to the left of the political spectrum tend to have more scruples. They tend to have more of an of a awareness and an idea for fair play.
Yes.
That's why you see Republicans resort to pretty much, basically, that's the contrast between them and Republicans is Republicans are all about keeping power because they know that numerically the rest of the country outnumbers them in their ideology. They are steadfast in order to serve for their survival as a political party on keeping some kind of power.
Their even grasp, if it means suppressing
even if it means
rights.
Even if it doesn't matter by hook or crook. They will do what it takes. And I've all you know, one of the reasons why when Hillary was running against Barack Obama in the primaries back in 2008. Yeah, thank you. One of the things that really turned me off to her was that I got the sense from her that she was willing to do whatever it took, fight however dirty she needed to fight to gain power or to maintain power. And that really turned me off. That turned, because it was way too, it was way too Republican-like for me.
Interesting. Okay.
And this is before I was on board with Obama, because honestly, I didn't, at that time, I wasn't sure that he could win the general election. So
when he took the lead, I started believing when he took the lead from Hillary in the primary down the stretch.
Well, I think it was South Carolina.
Yeah, that's when I started believing he was a little more
real.
He was real. He could definitely.
I think he either, I can't remember if he won Iowa or South Carolina. It was one of those when he won where I was just like, Oh, okay. And then I bought his book.
The Audacity of Hope.
Yes.
Which I still have never read. I have to admit that.
Yeah, I bought the book. I read it.
I still haven't read Becoming either by his wife.
Me neither. You know, I've been really slacking in my political reading.
Yeah, I'm reading a pretty cool book now, though. It's called Progressive Black Masculinities.
Nice. I'm reading Harvest of Empire.
Oh.
We should all read Michael Cohen's book when it comes out.
I still need to get Mary Trump's book. Therapist, I want to read that.
I have John Bolton's book, but I haven't read it yet.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, that's where the line is drawn between the two of them. So that's getting back to what Ty was saying. When Democrats or, you know, left-leaning voters look for their candidate, they're looking for somebody who embodies and espouses those fundamental beliefs they have in fair play, being, you know, upright, you know, respecting your fellow man.
Having some scruples.
Exactly. Whereas Republicans
don't give a fuck.
Who gonna win? Who is gonna win?
Speaking of Republicans, apparently down in Georgia.
Oh, God.
Are
we about to talk about the QAnon?
Yeah, she won her fucking primary, which means she basically won that district. Because they're not gonna vote for a Democrat.
Yeah, it's like Baltimore.
Right.
Baltimore. If you win the Democratic primary for mayor in Baltimore, you're
the mayor.
You're the next mayor. You're the next mayor.
Yeah. DC. Yes.
When's the last time there's been a Republican mayor in DC?
Never.
I don't think there's ever been a Republican mayor in DC. We can name white mayors before we, but even they were probably Democrats.
But they was at the beginning of the
time
in DC, like when DC first started having.
Basically, before niggas could run for office.
Yeah.
But let's keep it a buck.
Oh shit. I mean, it's real. I can't detect the lie, but still. Yo, how awesome was that period during Reconstruction where you had black men represent? representing Southern states.
Mm-hmm. What a time to be alive.
At the national level.
What a time to be
alive. What a motherfucking time.
I don't know about all that.
Not a time to be alive, but it's, dog, can you imagine being like a Republican congressman from Mississippi and having to share your seat, your part of the committee with a black man from Georgia?
Well, at the time, honestly, you know, that was before the switch. So, yeah, well, the black folks were still, Republicans.
Imagine being
a white Democrat, a white Southern Democrat.
White Southern Democrat. Woo! He probably fought in the Civil War.
Well, yeah.
Former veteran. Mm-hmm. And what if he's a junior, like, congressman, and the black man is a little...
has a little bit more seniority.
They deferring to him first instead of you. You can't get no committee head.
Wow. Oh, that's gotta be.
You gotta call him the Honorable Mister.
Right, you gotta call him Mister. Right.
Mister, whatever his name is.
You can't just walk in there, nigger.
Nope. Hey boy.
What is this nigger doing in this chamber?
I will not recognize the gentle nigger from
from Mississippi.
He probably walked in and looked at the you know there's a nigger in
Okay, we are using the N-word a little gratuitously, but that's okay.
Wait, you called us nigger 5 times before this shit even started.
5? He called us niggers for like 30 minutes.
nigger. With hard R's, mind you.
Yeah.
Hard R's. Not an A. Not an R-A. Not niggers. Niggers.
Boy, I swear, you niggers always complaining.
See what I'm talking about? That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's why black folks can't get together.
Why do y'all still be my friend?
Every time we leave here, I ask myself that same question. Tammy. And then I come back every week. I must be a masochist.
I must say, you're such a masochist. I
must be a masochist.
And I love those.
I bet you do.
I see what I used to post on Facebook all the time. I can't criticize anybody's use of being off the chain. Yo, you ever look through your early Facebook posts?
Dog. You know, Facebook should have never put up the memories.
Because you look at some of those memories, you'd be like, God damn, I was tripping that day.
No. And I was like, yo, my mom follows this account, man. I was talking about...
Yo,
I was talking about sleeping in the wet spot and everything.
It was, yo, it was one that I had. It was one that I had. Now, I'll take y'all back even further. Before Facebook, MySpace.
Oh!
And I posted, because you know you could post, like, diary entries or whatever. And I posted one called, These Are My Confessions.
These are my confessions.
Yo, when I look back on that shit now, it's like, I never air myself on social media the way I did back then when it first was taking off. Yeah, I'm good on that now.
For us, it was live journal.
Man. Woo.
Yo, niggas were putting business on that.
Wow. For real, son. Live journal was wild.
Especially if you had access to somebody's private. The private jumps, that's where it got popping, dog.
Yeah. I was about to say, it's like reading Literatica.
Erotica light, but
nude,
yeah.
Nude Africa.
Yeah, there was some.
I mean, Nude Africa gets off the chain, though.
I have to read to y'all this post.
Nude Africa.
I posted today.
Nude Africa was showing like penetration and cum shots and everything.
That my father actually responded to. It said, face sitting, cowgirl, and any other position with the woman on top are fundamentally acts of homosexuality. The male, by being in a sexually submissive position, is engaging in homosexual activity. And conversely, the woman being in a dominant position is engaging in lesbianics. Now, I posted that.
You niggas be so woke just to be stupid, dog.
But wait.
These are the same niggas that don't wipe their ass.
My father responded to this shit.
Oh, wow.
But on the flip, I mean, it's kind of what I would expect from my dad because he's a hoe. But still, like, wow. I didn't think about the fact that my parents followed me when I reposted a post about face sitting and women on top.
Wait,
and your stepmom follows me too.
But see, you gotta understand, my stepmother has had me in her life for a very, very long time, like since I was very young.
Oh, okay.
So, trust me.
So she.
There's nothing that you can say that will shock her. I told you she listens to the show.
Oh yeah.
I told you that. She. That's why she started following you. I think she. Does she follow you? Oh.
Well, I'm much more filthy on Twitter anyway.
Yeah.
Because my parents are not there. They need not ever be there.
Oh, no. Blocks. Come.
We're handing out them blocks like a Matumbo.
Yep.
And shaking the and wagging the finger. No. Follow for you.
You won't be bringing this shit up.
Yo, my cousin posted. What did she post? She posted something. Oh, what's in your Pornhub search history?
Hey.
And of course I responded. Now, mind you, this is one of my distant cousins. Like, you know, I've never actually met in real life before. Like, we, you know, all the cousins and family members and everything, we're all Facebook friends.
Right.
So, yeah. That was interesting. It's like, hey, cuz. Learn something new about your family.
Man.
I think I said it was something like, what was it? DDLG BDSM. What else was it? Female orgasm, something like that. Like it was wild.
She hits with the O.
she liked the comment. What?
Someone said, if something racist happens to me, do not tag Sean King.
Wow.
Please don't.
You know what, though? I can't even be mad at that statement. And don't get me wrong. Like, early on, you know, I was feeling, you know, some of the shit. But then it just went off the rails for me with him. I don't know.
I remember when he was upset that I didn't know who he was. First met him on social media. This had to be, you remember when Howard used to play Morehouse?
Yes.
That was the first game of the season.
Yeah, I remember that.
First year, because there was a group on Facebook, Howard versus Morehouse. You know, people would throw jokes at each other.
Yes, I remember that.
And, you know, and I was talking about, you know, of course, with HBCUs, alumni is going to
go in.
Is going to be brought up. Famous alums.
Of course.
And I'm like, you know what? Morehouse has a lot of great men, but...
Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, but you know, Howard alumni list is a little brolic. Yeah. A little more robust.
It's a bit more robust.
It's diverse.
Yes.
He was like, and me and somebody was naming alumni back and forth. And then somebody was like, Sean King. And I was like, who the fuck is Sean King?
You talking about the quarterback? You talking about the quarterback for Tampa Bay?
I'm like, yo, I know that nigga didn't go to fucking Morehouse. Then he popped up. Who I am. Google. I'm like,
no,
I don't.
Really, I don't.
And no, I'm not about to Google you. I ain't about to give you hits.
Right.
I really don't give a fuck who you are, to be honest. That's how I would have approached the conversation.
You're Twitter famous. Stop.
Yo, and white people still be like, Sean King said, Sean King.
Meanwhile, tell me anything that motherfucker said.
Black Twitter Ben done got his ass about the paint.
Yo, niggas called him Chalcom X one day. And it was a white dude who called him that shit, dog.
Which is so funny because Malcolm X was not, despite
Denzel playing the hell out of that fucking role in the movie. Malcolm X was not a darker skinned dude.
No, he was not. Malcolm X was the fact that he was light skinned. Yeah. And his mama disliked him because he was light skinned.
Yeah. Malcolm was yellow.
Mm-hmm. With red hair.
Yeah.
But we done with the Kamala stuff? Are we done so we can move on? Because I can still talk about.
I thought we had more.
The 94 crime bill.
Oh, bitch, yes. Because that ties into something else that I wrote down.
Here's my thing about the 94 crime bill. It had its negative parts of it.
Yes, it did.
It was, in hindsight, it was very bad.
We realized the long-term implication. We were not thinking ahead. But you, gotta remember,
a lot of black people
wanted it.
And let me tell you something. As somebody who grew up in LA, in that area, during the early 90s, when I say, like, you literally, like, had to be afraid just walking home from school or coming home from work or whatever, just from catching a stray or something.
Yo, New York in the 80s?
Dog.
With crack?
Dog.
Come on, son.
Dog. I used to be in New York during the summer in the 80s. Dog. It was nothing here.
Wait. It
was nothing here. Gunshots and bodies and stuff. And niggas getting beat up in the hallway. Like,
dog, I used to go to, like, I couldn't go to sleep. When we first moved from L.A. further out to
IE.
Yeah, to the IE. Like, I couldn't go to sleep the first, like, month that I lived there.
Because it was too quiet.
Because there were no helicopters.
That was your white noise.
No ghetto birds.
No birds. So we didn't have any birds circling.
That is crazy.
That used to lull me to sleep at night.
Yo, you were talking and I started getting animated. I said New York in the 80s with crack. Let's not forget D.C. in the 80s and 90s with crack. Yeah. That shit was wild. Motherfucking congressmen were getting robbed walking home on the area around Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
Nigga.
I mean, it's the murder capital for a hot minute.
For a super hot minute.
I got to D.C. at the end of that long run.
Yeah, let's not even talk about Southeast.
Woo!
The Anacostia area.
Woo!
Yo, the people who lived there who wasn't in the gang, they were hostages. Yeah. Like, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
They was in the middle of a war zone, like, and people wanted that element off the streets. People were starting to go back to their congressmen. They was talking to their presidential candidate, like, yo,
you got to live in a war zone. About this.
This little girl was sitting in her room, and she ended up getting shot. Like, right. We work hard. We pay taxes. We want the police here, too. So, give birth to the crime bill. It wasn't like Biden just woke up one morning, like, you know what?
Let's just put a bunch of niggas in jail.
He was asked. Now, again, it circles back to in hindsight. Was it good in hindsight? We can have that debate.
But we can definitely have that debate.
People wanted that element off the street. And a lot of black people who are now hiding their hands saying, oh, we didn't want that. Nobody asked for all that. That's stupid.
Shit.
No.
Shit.
Your parents, your grandparents demanded that shit.
There are a lot of people now who are acting like the crack era wasn't that bad. And I'm like, look, I'm not going to allow you to be revisionist on that because it was.
You're not going to ignore my trauma.
Right.
To try to, like, attack Biden and Harris right now. Like, that's what you're not going to do.
Dog, having somebody you love that was hitting that rock, dog.
Right.
Shit's getting stolen, dog.
Dog.
These niggas got unsavory characters around your crib and shit, dog. And God bless the little kids who were sold.
Who were neglected.
Neglected.
You know.
I remember my babysitter when I was a kid. I used to have a huge crush on her. Until I found out that she was doing that rock.
Like, why you think Sir Mix-a-Lot said, because the rock man got her and her butt just dropped.
Used to see her out in the parking lot behind the apartment building.
Slurping off for some rocks.
At first, I didn't know what the hell was going on. But then, like, I started noticing, like, it was... So I would look for the cars.
And the sad part about... about it, I mean, stuff like that still goes on just for different drugs. Like, and
yeah.
I say that because, you know, I
suck dick for crack.
Shut up.
I faked them.
I know. Shut up. Shut up. You know, I have experience with a lot of people, you know, in recovery or even in active addiction. They've talked about some of the things that they've done to acquire, you know, drugs. And it's deep. Or, you know, I've, you know, done so many biopsychosocials on people who talked about what it was like growing up for them in the city because their parents were addicted to heroin or addicted to cocaine. And, you know, they it was hard. They had to raise themselves.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine? That's why I always, you know, I don't have a problem giving money to the Squeegee Boys.
Right.
Even though they are a little bit older, like, how many younger siblings are they helping taking to care support? Because mom is
like, I don't even let them do my windows.
I just give them money. Yeah, same here. Yeah, I'm just like, oh no, you ain't got to do me. Just here's a dollar.
No, well, I usually give them at least five. That's
okay. Well, you know, you're balling a little bit more, and you ain't got no little kids who are asking you for shit as soon as you walk in the door.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I put in my time already. Thanks.
Lucky duck. Lucky ass duck. So, yeah, that is one thing that kills me is how folks now, either who didn't grow up during that era or who did, or, you know, just trying to revise that, that's not going to happen.
I think a lot of them grew up around that time. They didn't grow up in those neighborhoods.
And that's
what I didn't grow up in that neighborhood, but I still understood how fucked up it was.
I did. And that's what I was about to say, like, so, I remember what it was like living in the middle of a gang war. I remember what it was like, you know, going to school and not, and literally school had to tell you, you can't wear British Knights.
You know, remember, that stands for blood killers.
Right. Remember the brand of sneakers? School telling you can't wear, well, that was more of a, you know, we're going against hip hop thing when they were saying you can't wear Raiders or Kings.
That was
against NWA. Oh, God. But no, like you couldn't wear, you know, all of one color, like all of red or all of blue or anything. Like you couldn't fly colors in school, which for me, for obvious reasons. But I remember those type of rules being in place specifically because shit would pop off. Niggas was getting shot at school. So I remember what it was like growing up doing all that. I remember what it was like not being able to walk through certain neighborhoods if you weren't from that neighborhood.
Right.
And don't be from the other neighborhood that's beefing with them, even if you're not gang affiliated.
Because you can still catch it. If not a bullet, at least a beat down.
Exactly.
I can imagine how the adrenaline gets to run and just even thinking about some shit like at the end of the day.
Well, see, and then let me tell you this, you know, when you are a child under that much stress, your body produces a lot of cortisone because cortisone, you know, is a hormone that is supposed to help to calm you down. But one, that interferes with brain development, and two, it can lead to childhood and adolescent obesity, amongst other issues. So now you're affecting people's cognition, you're affecting their mental health, you're affecting their physical health. This is all trauma that is affecting these things. Like, right. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, absolutely.
So,
I'm not going to sit here and let anybody wax poetic about that time. Like, don't tell me.
Or downplay, right.
Yeah, don't downplay that shit. Like, no, I fucking know better. Like, I've seen people sell off entire fucking Christmas gifts. Imagine being a fucking kid, waking up in the morning, seeing all those gifts around those trees all week, then waking up fucking December 25th, and that shit
gone. All of it gone.
My mom in here talking about somebody came in and stole it.
While she's high as fuck.
Oh, we got robbed last night.
While she's high as fuck.
You didn't get shot, like.
Did you at least pinch the bitch?
Yes.
It was no signs of somebody breaking and entering, like.
What'd you do? Let him in? Invite him for coffee?
Yeah, I was drinking. I mean, what do you mean? Did you help him put it in the car, Ma?
What did you do, Ma? What did you do?
I don't see no cops. Did you give a statement?
Speaking of breaking and entering, or perhaps illicit entering, a player from the Seahawks has fumbled the bag because he wanted someone to come in to the bubble of the hotel. Yes. Who is it? Kamaz Sivaran was cut for allegedly trying to sneak a woman into the team hotel.
Oh, no, no. There's more to that. What was she wearing, Dr. Tell?
Oh, wait. I don't know. What was she wearing?
She was wearing Seattle uniform. Seattle equipment.
Shut the front door.
He tried to sneak her in as a...
As an employee of the organization? Wait. He didn't have her, like, in gear or something, right?
Yo, when I'm here, I need that question answered, because when I'm hearing that, I'm thinking she walked in with the helmet on her head. Like,
first off, I'm hoping that he's, I mean, well, no, let me draw that back, because I'm getting ready to do some. If she looked like a football player, if she was able to pass as a football player, would you still be smashing? I'm sorry, that's why I had to draw it back. I didn't want to seem like I was body shaming at all.
Apparently,
I'm not.
Apparently he is.
I did see that someone said, I just want to see how she was dressed.
Yeah, I need to know, how was she dressed? Like, how was he expect? She couldn't have been a coach.
I imagine that she's, you know, because most women are not that tall. So, most.
I imagine she was short.
And from the picture that I see of her, she doesn't look to be particularly Rubenesque. I should say, or...
She's not curvy.
Curvy, or
she thick. She ain't big bones.
She ain't got yams.
Yo.
Does not appear that any of those are the case why, in this picture.
So why was he sneaking her in, then?
Right, my question.
Like, if you're willing to risk the bag, I'm sorry, she better be shaped like Cardi B, naturally.
Right, and she's not even shaped like that naturally. She will tell you she's had liposuction, well, ass shots, and titties.
That's why I said she better be shaped like that naturally.
So we made the stallion.
You fumbled the bag for Meg, for Nia Long. You fumbled the bag for Nia, like Beyonce. That's who you fumbled the bag. Like, I wouldn't be upset if LeBron got in trouble for trying to sneak Beyonce into.
That would be completely understandable.
I get it.
I honestly might be mad at the NBA for not letting that union happen.
You gotta let that happen.
You gotta, like, dude, this is a thing we've been building. We've been watching build for years.
You think Jigga and Savannah blessed it? Let me stop. Go ahead. Keep it moving. Don't
Savannah might have.
Don't stop. Don't.
Because, you know, it's Beyonce, but Jigga.
You don't know that. He might be.
I mean, Jigga
super into that.
Well, and then also, like, Jigga and LeBron are close, like, you know.
And Beyonce owes some payback.
Not really.
Niggas be mad as fuck.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Because you thought the beehive went crazy.
Jigga Nation is going to flip. Yo, Rock, there's going to be so many diamonds in the air.
Niggas will buy out the whole front section of the Beyonce concert. Just hold up the... Just hold up the rock.
But...
Oh, shit.
But I'm not gonna fumble the bag for a shorty I could be with if I was broke.
Bullshit. She looked like a chick I could have smashed the call when I was working at call centers back in the day. Like,
and it's not just that she's white. Like, she's not even.
Well, see, that's the thing. Nobody even mentioned that she was white until just now.
Right. None of us did anyway.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, on the show right now. Yeah.
During the middle of one of the longest Black History Months in recorded history, he fumbled the back.
Nigga, Juneteenth was just a couple of months ago, dog. Come on, man.
We still in Juneteenth. We still celebrating that shit.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The world is fucked up now, but yo, we've been black as fuck. I think we've been super black this year.
And we still need to, like, pump that shit up, because, you know, William Barr's out here saying Black Lives Matter is a fucking terrorist organization bent on tearing world the domination. System down. And there's part of me that's like, the system needs to be...
Well, not only that, part of me is like, J. Edgar Hoover, anybody?
I'm like, so, like...
We about to start, COINTELPRO?
How do we just ignore the KKK and all of this? Like, we talk about...
The Boogaloos who've actually fucking killed people.
I'm about to say, no, you know, they're fine people on both sides. This is the mentality of the administration that we're dealing with.
These men are openly embracing Nazis, dog. Like,
Openly embracing.
And Confederate sympathizers.
Yeah. Because it's a part of our history.
Because there is no such thing as a Confederate anymore. But there are Confederate sympathizers.
You're right.
Like we should have dealt with Nazism the same way Germany is dealing with that. No, you just not going to be...
No, it's illegal. Like, if you...
You better do that shit in your fucking house.
Right.
Yeah.
And in the basement. And don't let us see it through the window.
Oh, we see it through the window. We kicking your shit in.
Kicking the door, waving the
fuck
off.
We kicking your shit in.
Like, oh no, we're not starting this shit again.
We're kicking your shit in, and we're beating up everybody in the fucking house. So if you're ready to see grandma get her schnitzel punched up out of her,
yo, I literally saw pictures of a
grandpa
dude
getting thrown out the second story window. Dog. Yo, we're coming in there, dog.
Let me tell you something. This dude and his son were like watching a parade, or they were outside eating something, and like the dad gave a Nazi salute, and like you saw police swarm in and like arrest that nigga. Like, no,
they was
is not what we're doing.
And they were very aggressive with it. I remember that they were
not gentle.
Right.
Yo, I think that dude's head bounced off the floor and everything, dog.
And I'm okay with that.
Because you're supposed to do that to Nazis. That's what history told us. You do that, you beat the fuck up out of night. You bomb these motherfuckers. Like,
motherfuckers volunteered to go over there and, like, beat the shit out of Nazis. Yo, so
I was watching this documentary about this dude that was a fighter pilot, and he was like, yeah, I'm sitting here thinking about dropping all these bombs on innocent people. Then he was like, but they're Nazis. They earned it. Yo, he really said those people are Nazis and they earned it. I was like, yo, these dudes, people had strong feelings about...
Yeah.
People had strong feelings about Hitler back then.
Yeah.
Not everybody was in on this.
We as Americans bombed a city full of beautiful art that really wasn't even involved with Nazis, just because fuck you, Nazis.
Because it's in Germany. How about that?
Like, the bombing of Dresden was totally unnecessary, bitch. Fuck you.
You got to read about that, too.
What, the bombing of Dresden?
Yes, the firebombing of
Dresden. Yeah, did you ever read Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut?
No, not yet.
That's how I learned about the bombing of Dresden.
Yo, and the Nazi high power tried to spend it as the Americans is bombing innocent people. Because this is before people found out what was going on in the prison camps.
Right.
He was really on air complaining about innocent people being bombed while they were gassing and starving and raping innocent people.
And, you know, doing god-awful medical... Like, have you ever read about what Joseph Mengele did?
Yo, that shit's crazy.
That motherfucker, and he got away with it. The motherfucker escaped to, like, Argentina or some shit.
You know what we should have did? We should have bombed Argentina. We should have bombed the fuck out of Argentina.
Now, wait.
I mean, not the whole country.
No, I will say.
They just stabbed his face up real quick. What?
You harbor Nazis? Hey, if you don't want to get bombed, you need to be handing them over. Yeah. If you don't want to hand them over,
we're going to bomb you.
You might want to start digging some underground shelters.
I think Argentina had a nice right-wing dictatorship government that we supported.
You know you people are dark skinned, right? You know what we did to the last dark skinned nation that did not want to conform to us?
Yo, you know, like, as far as South America is concerned, like, the Argentinians really do try to, like, hide their Afro population. Like, they really do not acknowledge them, have tried to whiten them out, weed them out over the hundreds of years. Like, they really try to act like slavery wasn't a thing there. And I'm like, nah, motherfuckers. You're gonna own this shit.
Shit, the original Latin countries like Portugal and Spain and all of them, they were the biggest ones.
Yeah. Hello?
They're the ones who Portugal, right. Are the ones who introduced the slave trade to the world.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Brazil didn't outlaw slavery until what, 1870 something?
1885.
Oh, okay, wow.
Became a home for
ex-Confederates. Yeah, oh, wow. A lot of Confederates moved down to Brazil and then like established their slave own little colonies down there.
Really?
Yeah.
I was not aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
I see. I need to go back and do some more reading.
Look at us learning you something.
But see, that's why I say that's how you treat Nazis. You brutalize Nazis. Like you got that's a type of political thought process that should never be allowed to flourish. Yeah. Like there's no good reason to bring me Nazism. Like, there's no reason for any government to have that mind.
Any political party that would, you know, seek to eradicate an entire race of people, or even just subjugate people to that kind of rule, should have no place in a political system. But
yet here the fuck we are.
I say, but yet we have Republicans.
Here the fuck. We are.
I dare Trump to be in Berlin and tell me that, and tell the German people that there were good people on both sides during World War II. I fucking double dog dare him. I don't think he's gonna have. He's gonna need those fighter jets from that German air base to calm that shit down.
Well, they wouldn't be there because you know he's talking about withdrawing the troops that we have in Germany out of Germany.
I mean, you know, you gotta soften it up when Putin comes through.
Exactly. I'm like, yo, how do we not see how much of Putin's bitch? Well, let me not say that, because we do, at least the people within my circle understand, like, Putin is dog fucking the shit out of this motherfucker.
And it brings it all the way back to Biden and Harris. Like, you can have your issues with them, but I can promise you, the alternative, you don't want to see a second term of this.
We don't want to see another 4 years.
You don't need to see another 4 years because those 4 years might be a little longer because he's already talking about hanging on.
But the thing that, like, kills me is, literally really does scare me, is what is being done to the United States postal system in the middle of a global pandemic, which we are doing the worst in. So it comes a time where absentee/mail-in balloting, because they're the same fucking thing, is going to be necessary. And this administration is dismantling the system that is going to be needed to carry that out. Like, he literally said it out loud this week when talking about the relief, and he was like, yeah, Congress wants $3 billion to help states with mail-in balloting, and they want to give $25 billion to the United States Postal Service. But the Postal Service, like, unless they get that money, they can't, you know, expand mail-in balloting. So, yeah, we're not trying to give them that money.
He's really trying to fix the election.
Really? Like, He quietly, you know, maneuvered for the 2016. Now he's just like, fuck it, I'm out in the open showing you that I am stealing this election. And I have an attorney general who doesn't think there's any problem getting foreign help, even though it's against the Constitution or law.
I mean, it's fucking treason.
Right. But, you know, who cares about that?
It's high treason, actually.
We use the Constitution to wipe our ass. So,
if the Democrats can flip the House, which I'm not saying they can,
No, they already have a house. They need to flip the Senate.
The Senate. They can flip the Senate. Excuse me. If they can flip the Senate.
That would make my pussy wet. I'd have a wop.
That'd probably be as important as actually Biden beating him.
It might be more important. Especially when you look at, like, the fact that, what is it, a quarter to one third of the federal, like, judgeships are filled by Trump people now. Mm-hmm. And he put young people in there, people like in their 30s and 40s.
Right.
So they're going to be there. They're going to be there for a good long while.
But I don't see him wanting to be president if the Democrats flip the Senate. He's not going to want no part of that drill.
Well, for one, he's going to be impeached and removed.
Oh, yeah.
So he may not have to worry about that for long.
But then we'll have to deal with President Pence.
I don't think Pence survives that.
No.
I think they're so entrenched, there's no way Pence can get in the courtroom or get in front of the Senate committee and say that, you know, I ain't know none of this was going on.
But see, that's the thing, though. Democrats would have to go after him at the same time. Like, they couldn't just get...
Couldn't make it seem like,
oh, we got Trump out. No, now it's time to turn the targets on you. No, it's got to
be... what makes you think Trump is going to go by himself?
Well, yeah, that's true.
That is true.
Trump's going straight Nino Brown to stand.
Oh, my God. If I'm going down, I'm taking all you motherfuckers with me.
It's bigger than Donald J. Trump. That nigga's not even going to blame Pence. He's going to blame Kushner. Pretty motherfucker. I ain't like him anyway.
And Ivanka? Let me tell you what Ivanka and Jared did. Yeah, I think he would rat out his daughter and his son-in-law. You think?
To keep him out of prison? Hell yeah.
Again, you haven't read Mary Trump's book yet. She talks about that.
I'm going to.
He teaches them never trust anybody, including him. I haven't read the book yet either, but I've heard excerpts. Excuse me.
I can't wait to read this.
It needs to be a win in November. Like, I don't understand what niggas are arguing about right now. Like,
you know why? Because our people will never be satisfied. And I'm not saying we should be satisfied at all. I'm just saying, like...
Well, look at what happened when we've been satisfied before. We fight for a mile. They'll give us a quarter of a mile, if even that. And we're like, cool. But it's never really, like, systemic change. You understand what I mean?
No, I get that. But what I'm saying, though, is that this is not normal times. We are clearly on the precipice of a constitutional crisis, literally.
On the precipice?
It would not end one.
So, for people to be, you know, splitting hairs...
Now's not the time.
It's really not. Let's focus on getting them in office first and then holding them accountable.
Well, Angela Davis said the same thing. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
she just said the same thing that you did. You know, she's like, we're more likely to be able to hold Biden's feet. That was before he even picked Harris. He's like, we'll be more likely to be able to hold Biden's feet to the fire than we would Trump. No, he's not a perfect candidate, but he's probably more likely to listen to our needs.
Well, Biden wouldn't tell his federal agent and police officers to set your phases on kill, neither. Like,
hello.
Trump is actually telling local sheriffs, you know, when the looting starts, the shooting should
the
start.
The shooting starts.
Yeah, you know.
Which start. Comes from a white supremacist governor.
This get to the point where you, I want to vote for the guy who's not going to order people to shoot unarmed civilians.
Right. So. And have them lose eyes.
If not more.
So, I think we could protest and we could make change with Biden a little more easier than we could with Trump.
Right.
And he's going to have a four-year mandate. He's not worried about not being voted out because either one, he's going to want to leave, or two, he's just going to fix it where he's president for life.
Yeah.
He's going to have enough judges
to make that shit happen.
So, like I said, I hope y'all niggas ready for the resistance.
The revolution will not be televised.
I need
Actually,
to buy,
it will be.
I need to buy more long guns.
Yeah. That's what I need to get trained in.
I got plenty of pistols. I need more long guns. Shoot farther distance, more accurate.
Create distance between you and your opponent.
Absolutely. I'm trying to... Yo, if the shit really pops off, no bullshit. I'm training to be a sniper. No bullshit.
Yeah.
You come out like Vin Diesel and fucking Saving Private Ryan.
I don't watch none of that shit.
That was a good movie, actually.
Vin Diesel wasn't a sniper.
No, you're right. Barry Pepper was. But Vin Diesel was a character.
He was a character.
Yes, yeah. He was.
But the sniper but was...
The sniper was Barry Pepper. You're right.
He was fucking amazing in that movie, too.
He really was.
But yeah, that's what I'm on. So... Now, have we gotten all the serious talk out of the way? Because I was wondering something earlier.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
And I know this is totally off the subject. I don't care about a segue. Right now, I don't give a shit about a segue, to be honest. Whatever happened to the art of manual stimulation?
That?
Hand jobs and finger banging. What? Where have they gone?
That's a good question. That really, honestly, is. And I say that as a woman who, like, in high school, obviously enjoyed, or and beyond, enjoyed a good finger bang. But now, sometimes, honestly, I'd have to say about 75 to 80% of men who touch me there make me feel uncomfortable and bring up feelings or memories of
trauma.
Even my husband, and that's something that we, you know, have to deal with.
I think some way we lost the art of doing it, being able to do it. Men lost the art of being able to, because now we're just focused on inserting ourselves. Yeah. Like foreplay is totally.
And see, that's.
I think that's another thing too.
Well, I was about to say, like, I've always, like, prided myself on good foreplay. Like, that's honestly my favorite part.
I mean, this women I've talked to have talked about, you know, a lot of men they've been with lack the ability for good foreplay.
Yeah. You know, I think the thing that does it for me is that I need to be aroused to be touched.
Mm-hmm.
I need to, like, already
be in the mindset.
Be in the mindset. You understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. It can't just be like that's what I'm going straight to. And there's a lot of men, even in their foreplay, who don't go outside of what this one man once described to me as the golden triangle, which I feel like I've said here before. But, you know, golden triangle, basically tits, pussy. And that's, like, all they pay attention to. And that's not always arousing. Mm-hmm. Like, I need kisses.
Mm-hmm.
I need, like, especially kisses on my neck or on my ears. I need caresses.
The most erogenous part of the body, of the human body.
Is the brain, but still.
Well, I was going to say the nape of the neck.
Yeah. So, for me, a lot of men go in dry fingers. You know, dry fingers, and they're immediately trying to touch the clit, and I'm not aroused enough for my clit to be touched like that at that point. And it's just like.
And as a man, I'm sorry, if you've ever tried to jack off, like, with dry ass hands and skin. Or even worse, had somebody else try to jack you off. With dry ass hands and skin,
then you should understand
exactly. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. For you.
I was trying to get people to relate to understanding what that must feel like for y'all.
Well, I think the reason why I just sounded like that is because it was a little bit of an epiphany. I think I've made jokes about men jacking off dry, but on the flip, I've seen men jack off dry and still be able to get themselves off.
I can't.
I don't know if they spit or they use like dick sweat or whatever, but pre-cum or something, but like I've seen you know what I'm saying? I've seen men jack off and not have lube, so maybe I didn't connect her like, well,
you could do it, dry. Fucking masochist.
You could do it, but it's not fun. Like, I mean,
yeah,
it's, there's nothing enjoyable. I don't
think. I'll say not fun. It's not productive. Like, it, yeah, it's not going to happen. Like, that's the worst.
You know, I'll admit that I haven't always been a hand job giving woman.
Now, is there something behind that?
No, insecurity of perhaps my own skills and thinking that what I'm doing isn't enough. And then, well, now my hands can cramp up, or my hand on my wrist can cramp up kind of easily. So that makes it a little bit hard to bring, you know, a man off to completion. But yeah, I've even like as a teenager, I didn't really give a lot of hand jobs, and it wasn't because I wasn't giving. It's just I just didn't feel like I did it well enough. But there was one time I, you know, did it with my husband with lube, and that was pretty successful. That was pretty hot, actually. It's... And I know he wouldn't mind that. Like,
I'm sorry.
He said it before.
Like I said, sometimes, and well, the totem pole for me is Dome, of course, is always going to be
awesome.
The number one. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, I mean, fantastic. It's just
I probably don't think, I don't know if I think I probably could go the rest of my life and never actually have sexual intercourse again if I could just get head every day to completion.
Wow. That's, is getting blowjobs that great?
When it's done right, yes. Absolutely.
It is pretty. Like, I've always wanted to have it. I mean, because don't get it twisted. Obviously, like, getting our pussy ate when it's done right is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Woo!
Right.
But a clitoral orgasm and a vaginal orgasm
are two different
feelings. Exactly. Right. So.
Yeah, no. Head is like, because, I'm sorry, you know, pussy don't have tongue and, you know, walk, walk, walk.
And hands. Exactly.
Like, oh, don't let them get in the rhythm.
Oh, so there's just differences, because the different sensations that can happen. Yeah. Head. Okay. Yes. Got you.
Yes. All yes.
Right. I get it. I understand.
So that's why that's number one. Then, of course, you know. Actually, no. I'd probably say maybe hand jobs might be second.
Wow.
And then intercourse.
Interesting.
Well, then vaginal intercourse.
Right.
And then anal.
Yeah. I had a friend who is probably like a 4.5 on a Kinsey scale, explained the anal sex thing to me. Mm-hmm. 'Cause one thing, you know, that he was like, yo, like, if that shit's not done right, and if the person who is, you know, receiving it isn't relaxed, that shit can hurt. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, it can really be like pounding into a brick wall, because think about it, those muscles are meant to push out. Not
take in.
Right, exactly. And I was like, yo, that's like hella real. Mm-hmm. That's I think, like, niggas don't always think about that too when they wanna do anal. Just the amount of relaxation and preparation that goes into that.
Niggas is ready to be kinky.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, niggas watch porn and they don't understand
that
you have to relax the woman to be able to do that.
They don't understand that part of the scene where it switches from the vaginal and then there's that break, and then next thing you know, you see her in a different position. And there was time in between that, getting her ready for that.
Yeah.
More than likely. I mean, you know, unless she's just a smut on it, you know, take a bowling ball. I mean, put a bowling pin.
Oh, my God. Whew.
But, you know. What? It happens.
I know. I've seen things.
But a good hand job. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yo. No bullshit. So.
I need to practice my skills on that.
I'm telling yo.
That's an area that I have not given a lot of attention to, I readily admit.
And I think that for me, like, a hand job is probably a close second, because not only am I getting, you know, that stimulation and everything, but see, I'm also, you know, very verbal. I like to hear, you know, my partner. I like to be talked dirty to.
Yes, basically. We know, because you're a freak. I'm kidding. I'm fucking with
you. No, it's cool. Shit. Look, I am what I am, and that's all that I am.
I wonder what it would be like to, like, choke a man while giving him a hand job.
Maybe if he's into that, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, me personally,
I know you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. You like to choke, not be choked.
Exactly.
I get it. Right. I didn't even know that, like, men, there are men who like to be choked until this one dude, like, said something to me, and I was like, oh, wow.
Okay. Well,
I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, because, you know, just like women who enjoy being choked, it's not just, well, for some people, it's the whole, the act of it itself mm-hmm. and everything, but when it's done properly.
Oh, yeah, you know, the whole, like, oxygen deprivation.
Well, that or cutting off the artery.
Yeah.
The blood flow to the brain. Exactly, and it induces that euphoric feeling. Mm-hmm. So, especially at the height of climax, and you have that going on at the same time, yeah. That's why you see people who accidentally die of strangulation mm-hmm. from while they're masturbating, like
with a
belt around their neck and, you know, shit like that. Yeah, because they're trying to achieve that feeling.
Yes. We know. Mm-hmm. Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yes. But yeah, no, a good hand job, though. And she talking shit?
Oh, top tier.
Yo, real shit. Real shit. I had a shorty give me a hand job on the Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland.
Wow.
Shit was so lit.
Fucking savage. Kids, get on that, man.
Well, technically, we were kids at the time.
Right.
It was grad night from high school.
Reminds me of a trip I took to, what was it, Raging Waters in San Jose. And ended up giving a dude head behind a waterfall in the little grotto area.
Oh, shit. Off the chain.
Yeah. Good times.
I like you.
You Cali niggas are wild.
Yeah. No, it's where I shoot all the porn at. What you expect?
Right, I know, right?
But yeah. Shit. Got a hand job one time in front of my parents.
Whoa. Yeah. You wildin', nigga.
And I forget. Well, I'm not going to say specifics. Right. Huh?
Yeah.
What's going on? What?
It'll reloop in a second.
I wouldn't get in no water by the statue.
Bitches want to die.
Okay.
You want kids with like five heads.
Fucking skin peel right the fuck off.
Oh my God. That's like motherfuckers go jump in the Inner Harbor. Like, what are you doing?
That. I was just about to say
that. Oh my God. I'm just.
Doesn't the Inner Harbor change its colors like every 3 to 4 months?
Why are you doing that? Are you trying to change the subject purposely?
No, I'm not. I swear I'm not. But yeah, it's a good hand job. And like, I agree with you. Like, a good finger bang? I feel like women finger bang better than men do.
I can see that.
Never been disappointed being finger banged. No, I take that back. There was this one bitch who really didn't know what the fuck she was doing. I was just like, please.
How could she not? Like, did she not play with herself?
She was a pillow princess.
Oh.
Yeah. It was just the overall a bad.
Those are the worst.
Sexual experience. Yeah.
Those are the worst.
No.
Yeah.
But yeah, aside from that selfish bitch,
it's like chicks who don't give head.
Right.
Or who claim they don't give head.
Like I was saying, besides that selfish bitch, pretty much most of my digital pleasure experiences with women have been awesome. And I love fingering women. I really do love bringing women to climax with my fingers. And I don't understand how men can't do the same because it's not that hard.
It's really not. I mean, you can feel where you're supposed to stimulate. Like, you literally can feel
you,
it.
You would think.
If you knew what you're feeling for.
Niggas be lazy. I mean, I've had motherfuckers give head and couldn't find a clit, and I have a big clit. So I'm like, what are you doing? Just move. Just stop. Just get up. No. Stop. felt like getting, like, rubbed with a wet, with wet toilet paper. Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's an equivalent for that for us. But, I mean, pretty much, if you get on a dick, I mean...
Something's going to feel
good. How about that? It's going to feel
good. Unless you, like, use teeth.
Yeah. Well, even then, I mean, depending on how it's done.
No, I'm just talking about a bitch who doesn't know what she's doing.
Oh, well, that's...
She's, like,
yeah,
scraping
that's,
on
yeah,
her
that's
teeth.
Different. Yeah,
yeah,
that's different.
That's what I mean.
But a nice little nibble around the crown.
No, I'm not talking about a bitch who knows that.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Or like, I don't know. Cause like I said, I mean, cause you know, obviously a dick is a lot easier to find than, you know, well, one would think the clit is easy to find too, but.
You would think.
Guys, a lot of guys don't,
it doesn't happen that way.
They watch too much fucking porn.
Yeah. And even when they do give head in porn, I'm sorry, when they eat pussy in porn, it's whack. It's very rare that I see someone eating pussy well.
You know who? Porn. You know who was good at eating pussy in porn? My nigga, Devlin Weed.
Yeah.
Devlin Weed. Honestly, no bullshit. Devlin Weed taught me to eat pussy. I said it.
Yeah, he looked like he actually enjoyed what he was doing and was into it.
Yes.
I will give you that.
Just them niggas look so grimy, though.
I know! Oh, my God! Yo, the niggas in porn in the early 2000s.
And it was always the same five niggas.
Yep.
Not even the early 2000s. The Devil of Weed goes back to the 90s.
Yeah, you right.
Like the early and mid-90s.
Yeah, you're right. It was him.
It was him. It was Wesley Pipes. It was Julian St. Jacques.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry, no. Wesley Pipes didn't really get on until, like, late 90s.
Yeah.
He's a little later.
If we're talking about, like, the original OG, it was Tony Everetti.
Yes.
Devlin Weed.
Yes.
Julian St. Jacques.
Uh-huh.
Guy De Silva. And Mr. Marcus.
Yes.
That was, like, the starting five of all black porn.
Oh, my God.
From 92 through 99.
Oh, my God. Still picture Tony Everetti now with them goddamn cornrows.
And them shits always look like they have
fuzzy,
been in.
They never look freshly done.
Like, nigga, put a do-rag on before you go to bed.
You ain't know you had a shoot coming up? You can't get that freshened up?
Come on, dog.
You mean tell me nobody just said can do braids?
You don't have a little sister, cousin, someone you could go to before all this? Come on, dude.
Damn, that one of these chicks on the set could have hooked you up before. No, come sit down. Let me take care of this for you.
Let me just do this real quick. Like, dude.
Nigga, world's a curl, something. Put some grease on the shit, something.
And Julian St. Jacques with that S curl.
Oh, my. Y'all was so glad when Mr. Marcus finally got rid of his.
I can't stand
that. Nah, y'all stop talking. Y'all haven't even talked about the OG. Jake Steed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, how I forget Jake.
Jake used to drop bars.
Shut up. Oh, my God. You know what? That's probably why I forgot about it. Because I stopped watching his porn because all his fucking scenes started up with him rapping.
No, nobody want to hear that shit.
Damn it.
Got him. Oh, God.
Oh, and it's shaved.
Oh, God. I wonder what Montana Fishburne is doing these days.
Oh, boy.
Because I sure haven't seen her in anything else aside from that one thing.
Honestly, she didn't really do a whole lot of scenes to begin with. Like, she did the one, her very first scene was with the white guy. I remember that, and they were in a car. She's fucking sucking in the car. Then he went back to the room.
Okay.
Yeah. Then, of course, there was a scene with Brian Pumper. And I think those are the only two scenes that I've seen her. No, I think I've seen her in a solo masturbation scene.
Really?
I think so. But that might have been the same scene with the white guy. Just a different part of the scene.
Part of it. Yeah.
But, yeah, I know those two for sure.
No, I don't think she did a lot of...
Yeah, I don't think she did anything much else after that. Now, when Steven Spielberg's daughter, when her shit leaks out to the internet, when her shit leaks on the X videos, I'm on it.
On it.
I am on it.
All right.
Well, I guess that's a wrap for this week. It's the Rock Solid Radio Show coming at you from the Rock House, as always. It's your boy Ubiquitous, Dr. Tam.
Peace out.
Todd Digger.
Peace.